go down, oh, down, down to the ground.
Greetings and welcome to Jesse Interviews. As always, I'm recording and producing this podcast on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, and I want to pay respect where respect is due. The interview that I'm featuring for this episode was recorded back in early 2008 ahead of Horace Andy's show in Melbourne at the Arts Centre in May 2008. There's not much to say about this one really. It was just a good chat to one of reggae's great singers. Horace comes across like a nice guy and he was a pleasure to talk to. Let's get right into it. Jesse I interviews Horace Andy in 2008. Okay. With me right now on the line from London, I have one of the greatest legends of reggae music, the singer known as Horace Andy. Horace, give thanks for joining us here on Chant Down Babylon.
Yes, my brother, and I give thanks to you, know, and I like the name of your program. Bless.
Blessed love. Well, yeah, I always like to start my interviews at the beginning, so I'd like to ask you a little about what life was like for you growing up as a Ute. You were born in Jamaica. Whereabouts in Jamaica you were born and what life was like for you there?
Well, I grew up in Almontown, you know, and Almontown and Jonestown, because my dad lived in Jonestown, and my mom live in Almontown.
Right.
It was very good, man, you know. It was very good, you know. I wasn't too much of a bad child, you know. But, you know, we still getting mischiefs when your parents have to give you a what now and again.
Right.
Yeah, man.
What about the music business? I understand that you had an older cousin who, of course, was Justin Hines, one of the big early singers for reggae music.
He definitely was, man. He was one of my inspiration also, you know. Yeah, man, Justin was one of my inspiration, man.
Right.
But so, when my dad told me that me and him was first cousin, I couldn't believe it, because I love his songs and didn't even know.
Right.
So my dad told me, you know.
So did you have
He became one of my first mentor, listening to him all the time, you know.
Same.
I love his music, man.
So, for you, how did you get your start in the music business?
Huh? How did I get my start?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you have friends, we always sit on the corner, we always be singing and sing, you know, and one of my friends, we used to go to the park and sing. And a young man, he was passing by, you know, and he said, "You sound good in a youth." So he took me to Philpott.
Right.
You must have heard about Philpott.
Yes, Sunshot Records. Yeah.
Yes. It's Philpott who first took me to the studio. You know, it's Philpott who first teach me how to sing, how to play an instrument, you know? That was Philpott, man.
Right.
So, I sung the first song for him, you know?
What year?
I really started.
Right. What year was that?
1966. Mm-hmm.
So the
and it was West Indies Recording Studio. That's the name of it when I went there, which is Dynamic now.
Right.
Bell Road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there.
Yeah, but Byron Lee called it Dynamic.
Right. So what about Studio One? It was a few years later. It was a few years after this before you went to Coxon, right?
Yes, I went to Studio One in, you know, I think it was January 1970. Yes, that's when I went to Studio One.
Right. How did you come to go there?
Well, Studio One was the number one. Studio One would always be the number one recording studio in Jamaica, man.
Right.
Yeah? I love it. I you know, Studio One music, I love Studio One music 1,000,000%. You know, and remember, you know, you had Bob Andy, you know, you had Wheeling Wheelers. You know, you have Eptones, you have Ken Booth, Delroy Wilson, Alton Ellis. Those are the singers that inspired me when I was young.
Right.
And especially Delroy Wilson, because he was a very young man.
See.
You know, and Delroy Wilson is the, what they used to call him again?
The cool operator?
No, the name for, you know... can't remember, you know. Sorry, man.
No, that's okay.
But I think Delroy Wilson was who inspired me. And then you had Errol Dunkley.
Mm.
You know, they all started before me. They were in the 60s.
Same.
You know, and I came in the 70s. You know, like, well, Dennis came in the 70s. You know, Sugar Miner came in the 70s. Johnny Clark in the 70s.
Mm.
But all the singers in the 60s, they inspire me, man.
Right.
But just a minute, sorry.
Sure.
Oh, something started to itch me.
Nah, it's all good. This is a beauty. I can edit it out after, you know.
Okay.
So in those times, they used to call Studio One like a musical college. Is that how it was for you?
Yes, it was, man. You know, because when I went to Studio One, that's where I learned to play all the instruments.
Right.
You know, I advanced more and improved more on my guitar. That's where I learned to play the keyboard. That's where I learned to play the bass guitar. Sorry. Because Leroy Sibbles, I used to take up, every time he put the bass guitar down, I would take it up and start to play.
Right.
And I would ask him, you know, I would ask him anything, and he would tell me. Alton Ellis, he would tell me. We call Alton our father, you know, me and Dennis. Every day, Alton used to lend me his guitar, and we used to play it all the time, man.
Same.
You know? Just like Earl Eptones, you know, they all show me how to play the guitar. Baga, Pablo Black, you know, Morgan, the man from Linstead, everyone.
Mm.
I would ask them every day. And the only thing I didn't learn was the drum. And Osmond used to want to teach me to play the drum all the time, man. But I always loved to play the instruments.
Same.
And I said, Studio One is elementary. College and university.
Right.
You know, Miss Enid, she was one of my, she teach me how to sing harmony. Even Larry Marshall, you know, showed me a lot of things also.
Same.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So at these times when you were at Studio One, were you already a dread at those times?
No. I wasn't, but, you know, I was going to Ethiopian World Federation. That's where I get all the inspiration from of Rastafari, from Gatman. Right. When he was at Jamaica, you know, Federation, man.
Right. So when when
Ethiopian World Federation.
The Prophet Gat.
When they switched to 12 Tribe, I became an unfinancial member. And for years and years and years, every time Gatman see me, he said, oh, you're still an unfinancial member. But, you know, I'm more to the Ethiopian World Federation, man.
Right,
right. That's what His Majesty gave us.
Same.
You know, and remember now, we don't say dread again, man. We say strictly Ras.
Strictly Ras.
We're born dreadlocks, you know?
Can you explain that for the masses?
I want all the masses to know, man, that we're born dreadlocks. You know, we don't have nothing with no dreadlocks. Because Rastaman don't shave no beard, and he doesn't shave around the rim. And there's a lot of things he doesn't eat.
Mm.
But you can't tell no one what to eat still, you know? But as I say, we're born dreadlocks.
Right.
Strictly Ras. When you see the Rasta man, say, Eel Ras. You can't say Eel Dread, because dread do anything.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
So the respect is dear, man, you know?
For you real.
You see a virgin, and you see a virgin, and you say, Eel Ras.
Eel Ras. Well,
yeah, man.
Getting back to the music in those early days at Studio One, that was where you first started to have your first hits in Jamaica, right?
Yes, definitely.
Was Skylark in the first big tune for you?
Yeah, man. It was. At first, number one.
Right.
But, you know, you had, you had Got to Be Sure was the first one. Got to be sure of woman's love.
Got to be sure of woman's love. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you have, you know, Something on My Mind. Something's on my mind. All of the, some of them songs came out in a single. Let me see, Fever came out in a single.
The reason why you wanna give me fever, you wanna give me fever in the morning, you wanna give me fever in the evening, in the night.
And I Got to Be Sure came out as a single. And I think Just Say Who came out, all the other rest came with the LP.
some of those tunes were so big that you ended up cutting them later in later years for different producers when the music changed. Can you explain to the people a little bit about it, why that was?
You know why that was? Because, you see, those people, they do the rhythm. Everyone always versions to the one music.
Yeah, still to this day.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Yes, and they never stop. So in that time, like Bonnie Lee would version the Skylark in rhythm.
Right.
You know, and when he asked me, say, oh, I'd like to do an LP. You know, they say I have the Skylark in rhythm, you know, so I just do it again.
Same.
The Skylark in rhythm. The Skylark in rhythm. That's what you do today.
But the original one is the best, man. Nothing beats an original.
But it is hard to beat those Studio One originals, that's for sure.
Yeah, man. It was nice for Studio One, man. Mm. When Burning Spear came, I used to see him every time he comes to Studio One.
Right.
Every time, you know?
So moving after
one of my inspiration to me.
Right. So can you tell us about when you moved on from Studio One? You worked for a lot of different producers in Jamaica, and then eventually you went abroad. Can you tell us about why you branched out like that, as it was?
Well, you know, that's how it goes in a music business, man. You know.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't feel comfortable at this place, so you left. You know.
Mm.
Start to go around with Bonnie Lee, some other independent people. And then I went to America, and, you know, when I went to Bullwackies, I improved more, even more on my instrument, because I call Wackies the second Studio One.
Right.
You know, but Bullwackies is really Wackies. Mm. You know, but the things, the opportunities that I get at Wackies, those are the ones I get at Studio One also.
Right.
Because I had freedom to play any instrument, to play any one of my songs.
Right.
You know, Wacky is a good brethren, you know, although there was no funds at that time.
Mm.
But we still hang on in there, man, you know.
Right.
And he's still there this day, man.
Right. And this is...
But Wacky's... Mr. Light Barnes, man.
Seen. He was based in New York, is that right?
Well, I used to.
Right.
You know, I've been in New York, man. I see where it wasn't going nowhere.
Right.
Although VP was there, it's not like now, you know, because it's more than a long time now, 15 years or almost 20 years, right?
Going that.
You know, I came to London because that's where reggae music was really, really, anyone was paying in the mind to reggae music.
Because
it was more in Europe. Not America.
Right.
You know, although Bob Marley, he tried to get the music big in America, but it didn't happen until he died.
Same.
You know? It's when Bob Marley died, then the black people in America really started to see what he was about.
So.
And then, you know, the kids from our Jamaican parents, you know, like me, as a dad, our kids grew up in America. You know, growing up, they start to do American music. It blends. Then it blends, you know, and the kids grew up in America, start to play the music. So they all go to school with their friends. So it's not like when I was in America, and Americans would say, "Turn off that shit." Yeah, you know, they came to my door, bang, 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 bang. I thought it was the police. When I opened the door, turn off that shit. Turn off that music. I said, come in and turn it off. If it's yours, come and turn it off. You know, we had a fight in America, man.
Right.
With Americans to love the music.
Mm.
But now they see what it's all about. They have learned it.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit like that here. It's a bit like that here in Australia, you know, for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get reggae music played anywhere in Australia, but you know, slowly and surely it's catching on, so.
Right. It's gonna when I came there, also, there wasn't plenty sound system. The sound system, only sound system I know when I came to Australia was, what's his name?
Probably Nasty
Something
Tech.
Another Tech.
Yeah, Nasty Tech.
Right, yeah. Nasty Tech, man. That was the first sound, man. I did a special for him, playing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's true, man.
And I went to where he played.
Mm.
You know, but I hope you have... I'm coming to sing with an Australian reggae band.
Yeah.
Some of the musicians. I always say that it's not Jamaicans alone can play reggae music, man. You have people who learn it and can play just like Jamaicans.
True.
You know? And I've seen it in Australia. I've seen it in France. I've seen it in Japan.
Yep.
I've seen it in France. I've seen it here in England. You know, so it's you know, I hope... my heart, they are brilliant, man.
Yeah, well, I reckon you won't be disappointed. You know, they're a very good band. They've been playing your rhythms for a long time now too, so.
Okay. And you know, I would love to see a reggae singer from Australia come to Jamaica, spend a long time like Gentleman and this young man from Italy.
Yeah, Alberosi.
Yes, man. And really mash it up, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I would love that, man. You know, you see, they can't come to Jamaica and spend a month.
Mm.
They have to really come and spend even the first 6 months to know what's happening, meet everyone, know the hardcore, you know the bad and the good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for real.
You know? Yeah, man, they have to spend 1 year or 2 years blend writing, you know? If and then them can really do good because Gentleman was there for a long time, you know.
Yeah, I know it. If I had the time, I would do it myself, you know, but easier said than done. So of course, you've been here to Australia before with Massive Attack. That's you talk about the dub plates and thing. So
yes, I've been.
But this is the first time. This is the first time that you've done a solo show, just Horace Andy.
Right. And I hope everyone comes out. And really love it. They're gonna love it, man. They see me for 2 hours, they're not gonna believe. Wow. Trust me, they're gonna love it, man.
For real.
It's my first time being on a stage with Luciana.
Right.
I'm really excited to, you know, because Lucy give me inspiration also, you know?
Right.
Yeah, man.
Well, speaking, I wanted to actually ask you a little about what you think about reggae music today. Obviously, you're not based in Jamaica these days, but you still return there enough times, I expect.
Man, I said Jamaica is my home.
Right.
You know, when I'm in England, it's to work.
Same.
Honestly, it's to really work, man.
Right.
As soon as the work finish, I go on to Jamaica because I have a recording studio.
Right.
And it's at 33 Bond Street.
Right.
Where Duke Reed, that's the original building where Duke Reed used to be.
Yeah, downtown.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of talent is there, man. So it get me sad when I have to leave, you know? You know, I would start getting all the interviews and all the TVs, man. They would come down to Denham Town and they would interview me, man.
Mm.
You know, everyone, I was starting to get back, getting in the running to the youth, them, you know?
See.
You know, yeah, man, and I have a lot of songs, new songs, which you don't hear
right.
as yet, you know? I have new songs, man, and I've, you know, my son, he's going to be a brilliant engineer, you know, he's getting there.
Right.
You know, so everyone is welcome there, man. You know, and people start to turn up from Japan, from Germany, from Italy. They start to come where the studio is, get to know it, you know, because of Treasure Isle, you know, the original, you know. So it's getting there, man.
Right.
You know, and I hope in the future we have brilliant, brilliant music, you know.
That's what we need. We just need more good music.
Right, my brother.
Hey, just going back, I just wanted to ask, there's a couple of questions I wanted to ask earlier. I might just cut them into the interview before, but with the name Horace Andy, your cousin, your real name is Horace Hines, right?
Right, right, yes.
And I read that that Coxon didn't want to put you out as Horace Hines and confuse things with Justin Hines. Is that the case?
No, not really. You know, he just said to me, he asked me my name, and I said Horace Hines. You know, and he walked away, put his hand on his temple, never forget it. Put his hand on his temple, turned around and said, "Why don't you have a Horace Andy like how you have a Baba Andy?" And I just said, "Yes, just like that."
Right.
You know, just like that, man. Easy. And it worked.
It's in. What about the nickname? Worked. The nickname Sleepy.
Sleepy. Well, that was given me from when I was a very, very young man. We'd be sitting on the corner. You know, I'd, even now, man, honestly, man, I'd fall asleep in 5-10 minutes. It never changed, man.
Right.
It never changed, you know.
All right, King. Well, give thanks for taking the time to speak to us here on Chant Down Babylon. It's been a real pleasure, and we're really looking forward to having you here in Melbourne.
Yes, and when I come, man, I'm going to do jingles for you, man. Don't
yeah,
worry.
Wicked. Well, actually, you know, yeah. Before when you mentioned sound system, I was going to tell you that sound Nasty Tech that you cut those dubs for the first time, because I have a sound system called Chant Down, and back when you came with Massive Attack, it wasn't going back then, but we started it up and we had a clash against Nasty Tech. And for real. And so they played those Horace Andy dubs against us. And they were the biggest tunes they played all night with those Horace Andy dubs. Because back in those days, we were just a young sound. All we had a couple Jar Mason and you know, African Simba, a guy from the UK. We had, but we didn't have too many dubs, and those ones hurt us.
Okay. Hello.
Yeah. Sorry. You hear me?
Yeah, man.
Cool.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. So, well, that'd be wicked. Yeah, when you come here, run some jingles.
Jingles for you, man.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to get some specials for the next time we clash Nasty Tech.
Yes. Okay, my brother.
All right, give thanks, Horace.
I tell all my fans one love, man, you know?
Yes.
And just be good with everyone, man.
Yes, King.
And everything blessed, you know?
All right, blessed love.
Yes, my brother. Bless.
All right, give thanks, King. A wicked interview.
Okay, my brother.
All right, we'll see you when you get here.
Yeah, man. All right. It's live spear, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, man. All right.
Bless up.
Yeah.
Horace Andy speaking to me there via phone from London back in 2008. That's it for another episode. Shout out as always to my Patreon supporters, the Dons Armageddon Time and Rasta Tony, the Real General Empress Irie, me Idrin Tom Tanaki, and me Chargy DJ Pablito. If you appreciate the podcast and want to support it, please think about becoming a supporter on Patreon for as little as a few bucks a month. I really do appreciate each and every one of these. Check out patreon.com/Jesse_I_interviews. Thanks for listening. Eyes is every time.